Welcome in to Fantasy Focus DFS Podcast, the CSS DFS as we like to call it. You can find us on video every Thursday on ESPN's NFL YouTube feed. And our podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. My name is Daniel. To my left, Mike Clay. How you doing, Mike?
Doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing well. We just did a season-long show together where we argued a whole bunch. Al Zeidenfeld coming to us live from Los Angeles. Al, how you doing out there?
I'm doing good. Coming off of a cheat meal last night. Went out for a nice steak dinner. It was delicious. Oh. I'm raring to go this morning.
Love it. Winner steak dinner.
All right. That's see, a lot of food. A lot of food on the shows today.
There is a lot of food.
Now, steak I love. I mean, I could talk about steak all day, so I'm here for you there.
I'll tell you what I didn't love was week eight. I'm just going to jump right into it. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Why not?
Week eight, I scored 110 points in our Fantasy Focus League. You were slightly higher than I am. That's all that matters.
I was a little ahead of you, but well behind our league champion last week.
D.D. Wessels had 209 points in our Fantasy Focus League, free at DraftKings, $200 in prizes. Mike and I tweet it out every single time. We don't promote that it's free on Twitter. We want that to be just for you guys here. However, we promote it so that anyone can join. But please, jump in, play against Mike and I. It's a ton of fun. You can win money. Costs you nothing. It's a good time.
And if we keep playing like we did last week, they'll win a lot.
Seriously.
That was a rough one.
We are tied 4-4 in the season. Mike is up total aggregate by 6.7 fantasy points, which is crazy.
Yeah, you know what? Like the first year we did this, I beat you, I think it was like 15-10 or something, and by like 150 points.
So you're
getting better.
I'm getting better.
So years go on. You're hanging in there now. So I have to pick it up here. I got to get rolling.
Well, speaking of getting rolling, I want to talk about, let's start with quarterbacks here.
Yes.
Because Josh Allen taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. We watched Josh Allen last week against Miami. He didn't look like the Josh Allen that we had expected and we were hoping for. However, Jacksonville's another great matchup, Mike. Mm-hmm. $8,200. What do you like about Josh Allen this week?
Yeah, and this is where I went wrong last week, right? Because I got off to a really good start in the week, but I went with Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback, because he was so cheap, and I wanted to fill in with some other guys. But I wanted to play Allen all week. We mentioned it on the pod, too. It's like, you want to try and get him in. If he can't, you go to save money, go Teddy. And that's what I did. Wrong decision. I should have just went with Allen. He's not too heavy, too highly pricey. He can't do it. And that's the case this week. $8,200. He is the highest priced quarterback, but the way he has played, he is worth it. The top scoring fantasy quarterback in three different weeks this season. He's been top five for the past 5 weeks. Again, my lineup's leaning towards cash. I want that high floor, and he is going to deliver that. 20 total touchdowns in 7 games. He's also third at quarterback in rushing yards, which adds to his floor. And they've had their bye too, so he's still third among quarterbacks in rushing yards. And
then that's awesome.
You have the matchup. The Jags. Again, despite the fact that teams can run it against them because they're beating them, they've allowed the 7th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, the 8th fewest pass attempts faced, the 8th fewest, but the 7th most points allowed, the 5th most yards allowed, the 2nd highest yards per completion and completion rate to quarterbacks. They've allowed 19 or more fantasy points to quarterbacks in 6 of their 7 games this season. Now, we need more than 19 from Josh Allen to pay off this price tag here. We want to get into the 24 range, but again, it's a minimum 19 in 6 of their 7 games. Just with the floor he brings you, you should be planning on 25 plus points this week from Josh Allen. That's a great start to your lineup.
Okay, love that. Al, let's talk about Joe Burrow, who after the Mike White game last week, I'm hoping continues. He actually had, I think he had, what, 260 and 3 touchdowns last week? Is that correct, against the Jets? Yeah.
Yeah,
259 and 3 touchdowns.
Burrow, yeah.
But like every week.
Yeah.
He has at least two.
Sorry, I was just going to just tag on to that. 2 or more passing touchdowns in every game of the season. Such a nice floor.
The only quarterback with multiple touchdowns in every single game this season.
Yep.
And there's really only 4 guys that he throws the ball to. And 2 of those get the lion's share. And one of them is Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know if you've heard about him, Mike, but he's actually really good at football.
Oh, really? Okay. Is he new or something?
Good football player. Yeah, he's new
this
year.
Must be a rookie.
Must be a rookie. So, like, you get an opportunity to get access to Ja'Marr Chase. And, like, you know, it's a divisional game, and divisional games usually are a little bit tougher, you know. But, like, the Browns have been a mess. They continue to be a mess kind of in the front office and off the field with the Odell Beckham Jr. stuff. Maybe that's going to be a little bit of a distraction. But it doesn't really have to be, as the Browns have given up the 9th most DraftKings points to opposing quarterbacks this year with that defense that we thought was going to be so amazing. They're good at pressuring. That front 7 is really good. But the ninth most DraftKings points. And over the last 4 weeks, they've given up the second most DraftKings points to opposing QBs. So Joe Burrow, really easy to funnel that to the stacks or double stacks and multiple touchdowns in every game this year. He was one of my regression candidates in a positive manner. For as much as he threw the ball last year, he had like 3% touchdown percentage. This year, he's on the way other side of that. He's got like 8%. So like, I guess we're going to write regression articles the opposite direction for Joe Burrow. In the offseason, but he's been really good with a great supporting cast. And I think that it's going to continue against the Browns.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And yeah, on that Browns defense, it is really interesting. We'll have to like maybe talk to Matt Bowen or someone and like, how does it make sense to have elite pressure like that, just constantly getting sacks and hurries? And they have three edge rushers that are like top five in pass rush win rate, one of our ESPN stats and info metrics, which is amazing. And they're still getting crushed defensively. Like, what are you doing in the secondary? And they have a lot of talent back there too. I mean, Greg Newsome, the rookie, Denzel Ward's awesome. They bring in John. It's not logical that they're this bad defensively. So maybe they'll turn it around in the second half, but they better get going. This is a huge game for them, by the way. And from an NFL standpoint, this is they're 4-4. They're last in the division. You have to beat the Bengals.
You got to get a win here. A couple of the quarterbacks that we like: Lamar Jackson, $7,300, taken on Minnesota. Tua Tagovailoa, $5,800. Taking on Houston. Jordan Love, with the news that Aaron Rodgers is going to be out, $4,400, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a guy that I like definitely more in tournaments than in cash. Like that cheap cash play where it's like, I want to get fancy, put him in my cash play, and then I can pay up everywhere else. I just can't do that for his first start, even though it's a good matchup.
And you are playing the Chiefs, which is, again, a team that has struggled defensively, but as we saw from Daniel Jones last week, that doesn't automatically mean
you're not production.
Or Teddy Bridgewater last week playing Washington, right?
Yep.
The defenses tend to, you know, kind of regress to the mean to some extent at some point during the season. So, but again, he's 4,400. Think about what you could do with that. I mean, you could have superstars everywhere else. That's the reason you would go that direction. By the way, really quick, I do have Taysom Hill on here. He's 5,500.
Yep.
He is going to be, if he starts, and we don't know for sure, right? He is missing practice. He's coming back from the concussion. If he starts at 5,500, he will be an elite play for cash or season long. We talked about this on the first pod. He was QB7 last year during his four starts. He had so much with his legs. He's very cheap. So just keep that name in mind if he is named the starter.
All right, let's talk about a couple of running backs here. Josh Jacobs, $6,200, taking on the New York Giants in New York. Mike, talk to me about Josh Jacobs, because this has not been like a season where Josh Jacobs has been the guy that we've all wanted to see, but this is still potentially a nice matchup here for him.
And that's part of my case, though, is that I think he's been better than people realize, including yourself, it appears. But
well, I'm just saying.
The injuries have been the issue, right? I mean, he's had two games shortened by injury, and think about some of his numbers, despite that fact, okay? Despite the fact that weeks 1 and week 7, he did not play the whole game, right? So first of all, he's the 12th highest priced running back this week in this slate. Again, there's six teams not in the slate.
Yep.
There's also four teams on a bye, and still he's priced 12th. 15-plus fantasy points in four of his five games, right? So very good floor. And again, that includes the two games that he missed, about half the game. Five touchdowns in five games. He's getting the rock near the goal line. He's also averaging a career-high 3.2 targets per game. Now, that's not a huge number, but it's also not one target or zero targets, right? He's actually getting some involvement. Elijah Mitchell, for example, hasn't had a target since he came back from his injury, right? It's been, or at least the last two games, he doesn't have a target. And then Jacobs has a great matchup here. The Giants have really struggled against the run. Fifth most fantasy points over expected to the to running backs. Fifth most rushing yards. Top 8 in yards per carry and yards per target. One opposing running back reached 16 points in 6 of their 8 games. So in 6 of their 8 games, at least one running back got there. If a Raiders running back were to make it 7 out of 9, it's going to be Josh Jacobs. I think when Kenyon Drake got there was a lot of concern that it'd be more of a committee attack there. That has not been the case. When Jacobs has been healthy, he has been the guy. He gets almost all the carries. He gets goal line work. He's scoring the touchdowns. And his passing game work is up, up from the past. So there's really a lot to like. There's I just think he's undervalued right now. I think he's playing better than people realize. If he stays healthy, gets through a game, he's going to deliver for you in what has been a good offense.
Okay. Like that, let's talk, Al, about Myles Gaskin, who has just been sort of like a fantasy yo-yo this year. You know, we've seen really good production out of him. We saw that 130-point monster game, that smash game that he had. But then there's just games where he either doesn't exist or the team doesn't use him. He just doesn't get on the field. It's a tough one to be able to figure out. However, in tournaments, especially because they're going to have to throw, Al, talk to me about what you like about Myles Gaskin here this week against Houston.
I'm still kicking myself for not getting on to Myles Gaskin that game against Tampa Bay, because you can't run on them. So we should have predicted he was going to get more snaps and catch more passes, but I digress. Four running backs have at least 12 carries and four targets in each of their last two games. It's Alvin Kamara. He's good. DeAndre Swift. He's been good. Ezekiel Elliott. We know he gets fed. And Myles Gaskin. So in the absence of Malcolm Brown, he's basically played a higher percentage of the snaps. He's gotten a higher percentage of the running back touches on his team. And he has the dream matchup against Houston. I'm tired of everybody rolling their eyes so hard for me at me every time I mention Myles Gaskin this week that they're going to pop an orbital bone or something. Like, Houston allows a touchdown on a league high 32.6% of their drives, and they're allowing 2.6 yards per carry after contact to opposing running backs. This is a really good spot at a really cheap price for Myles Gaskin. Solid for cash, good for tournaments as well, has a good floor because of the work in the passing game, and comes with a touchdown upside this week that he may not have in most other weeks. Houston's really bad. Okay.
I like it. Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
Is that a reference or is that just in
South Park?
A little snark.
South Park?
Yes, it was a reference.
Yes, okay. Right. Well, again, my
Daniel got it.
Yeah. So lower my hit rate.
Seriously. You didn't get that? I thought that was a joke. You didn't know
I tried to make the South reference no, like no. closer oh, to the present this week with Mr. Mackey, but no, apparently not.
I watch a lot of TV. It's what I do in the evening, but South Park's just not a show I really watch.
Not one of them.
Nope.
It's been a long time since I watched South Park. Let's talk about a couple other running backs here, and I do want to start with this one. Christian McCaffrey, $8,000 taken on the Patriots. Now,
let me just throw this in quick as you
jump
in.
Sure, you go first.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I just wanted to point out that if we were sure he would play, that's why I would have talked about it. He is the number one value at running back. 8K is too low.
8K is astronomically low, but the problem is we don't know if he's going to play the full game. We don't know what the workload split's going to be, what kind of target share he's going to have. Just based on them wanting to keep him healthy, as we listen to Simon talk about. But somebody, $8,000 to keep an eye on, just a thought there.
Yeah, he might be $10,000 today if he was healthy.
If you knew he was healthy. Season. Yeah.
Easily. I mean, if he never got hurt, he'd probably be around $10,000, right? Yep. That's just what he's done.
Chase Edmonds, $5,300 against San Francisco. Ezekiel Elliott, $7,000 against Denver. Gaskin, who we just talked about, at $5,800. And Devontae Booker, the other side of the Josh Jacobs game, at $5,900 there. So that's not bad. Either a couple running backs. I got to be honest, I don't love running backs this week. Running backs was like, I just didn't love it.
Yeah, we just talked about Jacobs and Gaskin. I mean,
yeah,
you're right. It feels a little gross, but you know, I think there's some value with those guys, right? That's maybe why you attack that kind of spot this week.
Absolutely.
I hear you.
Do you own a rental home, Mike?
Let me check. Yeah, I do.
Sure you do. I'll bet it can be hard work too, but do you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Yeah, so before the show, I mentioned to you that because I do own my home, which is my property, so I'm curious why someone put a full-size empty burn barrel on my property next to my shed. It's just sitting there.
Is there anything in it?
It is empty. I went out and checked it before.
Totally empty.
Completely empty. Old, rusty burn barrel. Big one, you know, big, normal size. Maybe someone listening has any idea why someone might do that.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know.
You should
maybe
use it.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
Like that you might like this. I don't.
You, if anything happens, first off, let's think about the positives really quickly. I know we got a lot of football to talk about, but you lose power. You can take the girls out there, stand it on the barrel, and you can still have some heat. You know what I mean?
This is true.
So
that might be it. Maybe they know.
Silver linings. Happened. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, I know something's power outage or something. I don't know.
Let's talk about, speaking of power outages. No, that didn't work. No. Devontae Parker at $5,300. Taking on the Houston Texans. Listen, we just talked about Miami. This game is going to be one of those weird games, right, where I don't expect a million points to be scored, but neither one of them are good defenses. So there's a chance that there could be a decent number of fantasy points here. Parker, $5,300. That's not a bad price point.
Yeah, first of all, I feel like we're just constantly, you see this on, if you're on Twitter, like during games, people are just itching for someone to make mistakes so they could just tear them apart, right? You saw that with Carson Wentz, who's played pretty well for a month or so, but everybody's watching the other week. He had some, you know, mistakes that he made, some bad turnovers. Same thing with Tua. I feel like we should be rooting for this guy, right? Top five pick is all these injuries, was in and out of the lineup last year. So he's done nothing wrong, right? He's just working his way back. And I feel like he's played pretty well, right? But again, he had a couple bad interceptions the other week and got shredded for it. But otherwise, the numbers have been okay, right? Nothing crazy, right? He's still a very young quarterback. He's only played a handful of games. He's coming along fine. And I think he's done some pretty nice things. And I think he's been good for this passing game as opposed to when Jacoby Brissett was in. You know, he's helped the cause. And maybe he throws 3-4 touchdowns in this game, right? It's a good matchup against Houston. And look, Parker is just underpriced. He's been, much like Josh Jacobs we just talked about, Parker's been way better than people realize. He's a 24th priced wide receiver in this slate of 5,300. He's averaging, get this, a career-high 8.6 targets per game this season, 24% of the targets, 41% of the air yards when he has played this season. All huge numbers for Parker. 9+ targets in 3 of his past 4 games. Again, tons of volume. And he's been a top 20 fantasy receiver each of the past 2 weeks. So, again, we're caught up in, you know, he's missed time with injuries, but when he has played, he has been productive this season. And then, of course, go ahead.
What do you got? I think that's the thing. Because he's missed time with injuries, it kind of feels more inconsistent than what it is just because of that, right? But when he's on the field, to your point, he has been productive.
Yeah, and we can potentially take advantage of that when we're filling out our lineup here, finding some values. But again, quick notes on that, on the matchup. Again, we talked a little bit about Houston against the run, but against receivers here, 9th most fantasy points over expected, 4th highest yards per target, 10th highest catch rate. 8 wide receivers already have reached 15 fantasy points against Houston. Again, Parker's the number one. You would expect him to be the guy to be able to take advantage of that. And they've allowed the 4th most to the perimeter, which again is where they've had some issues. Actually, it just occurred to me, we talked about Parker in the first podcast because he has a really good matchup. Yep. Desmond King on the outside. He's going to see a lot of him in this matchup. He's replacing Vernon Hargrave, so they just straight up cut. He played almost all the snaps in that spot last week. So good matchup, good player. Lots of volume. Jalen Waddle has a really tough matchup in the slot. There's really a lot to like here for Devontae Parker.
Okay. Al, let's talk now about Hollywood Brown taking on the Minnesota Vikings. One of the things about Hollywood this year, and I'm going to let you go off because I know you got a bunch of Hollywood stuff. He has been a lot more consistent this year than he has been in the past. And I love the idea of being able to, you know, we talked about Lamar Jackson earlier in the show, a little bit of foreshadowing, maybe stacking Hollywood with Lamar. I don't know. Just some thoughts. But tell me what you like about Hollywood this week.
I like that he is being utilized differently this year than he was in the past. Before, he was completely a boom or bust player, like a year and a half ago and before that. It was basically that he was just used as a 4-target, maybe a 5-target a game guy, all on deep downfield throws, and you had to get him to connect with Lamar. Now, his target share has gone up. It's a good matchup with the Vikings, who have allowed the 6th most DraftKings points on the season and in the last 4 weeks to opposing wide receivers. He is 5th in the league in air yards. That was predictable. What was not predictable is that he is leading the league in terms of end zone targets, the highest leverage targets, right? It's much harder when you have to catch the ball and then turn around and juke a defender and then maybe run, stay in bounds, don't fumble. When all you have to do to score a touchdown is just literally catch the ball and then it's a touchdown, that's pretty good, right? Like, those are the high leverage targets we look for. He's leading the league with 9 of those, tied with Terry McLaurin. And Emmanuel Sanders, I believe, also has 9 so far this year. And he's the only player in the NFL who has more games with 80 yards and a touchdown than fake Hollywood is Cooper Kupp. Also, pretty good company there for fake Hollywood Brown.
So here's the thing about Hollywood, and I just want to look at his game log and we'll move on really quickly. But he's had 2 games with single digits. 7.5 and 8.3 fantasy points.
And one of them was the Detroit game, right? Where he could have had 200 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Much more. Every other game this year, he's had at least 19 DraftKings points with a boom week against Indianapolis of 36.5 points. I mean, that ceiling is huge. And because he's become more consistent, there is a fear. Kyle and I were talking about this before the show a little bit too. There is a fear about stacking a running quarterback with a pass catcher because of the way that the game correlation and that script can work out. But Hollywood has been so much more consistent throughout the Detroit game. He's a guy that I really love. And at 6,000, I still think he's underpriced here.
Yeah. And for the first time during the Lamar Jackson era, the Ravens lean slightly towards a pass first offense.
Really?
They're like 15.
In neutral situations. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Adjusted for game script. Yes. Yeah. They lean toward the pass. This is not your older brothers, Ravens, Lamar Jackson, super run-heavy offense. It's a little different now.
Love it. Let's talk about a couple other wide receivers. Tyreek Hill, $7,900, taking on the Packers. DJ Moore, $6,400 on the other side of the Patriots game. Just watch and see what happens with Sam Darnold in that game, just in case you're going to play DJ Moore.
I don't know if it matters right now.
Honestly, it really doesn't feel like it. Yeah. Hunter Renfrow, $4,800, taking on the Giants. Jarvis Landry, if he plays as well, $5,100 against Cincy. Amari Cooper, $5,700 against the Broncos.
Wow.
Sub 6,000 Amari Cooper. Hollywood Brown, 6K, we just mentioned. T. Higgins, 5,300. Again, still underpriced with how many targets he's getting. Brian Edwards, $4,100 against the Giants. A lot of options at wide receiver this week. Mike, let's talk about some tight ends. And I love this tight end group that we're going to talk about here. It's so perfect. Tyler Conklin, $3,000, taking on Baltimore. He's actually seen a fairly good target share here in this Minnesota offense. Do you think that he has a chance to be able to get in the end zone? Because I feel like that's what Tyler Conklin needs to be able to have this big breakout game.
Yeah, sort of. I don't. How many does he have this year? Two, maybe?
Two, three? Let me look.
I don't think he has too many, but look, he's the 19th price tight end at 3K, right? He's just super cheap. Tommy Sweeney is more expensive. Austin Hooper is more expensive, and it doesn't make sense. Look, Conklin has six or more targets and 10-plus fantasy points in three of his past five games. He's averaging 5.1 targets per game. He's, you know, they've already had their bye week, Daniel, and he's 10th at tight end in receptions, you know, so it really hasn't been super touchdown dependency, which guys in his range, you know, when we're talking about options, whether it's season long or DFS, he is certainly getting a touchdown, can push you over the top, but he has been involved in the passing game fairly consistently. So like that. And also I like the matchup here, right? The Ravens have allowed the most fantasy points raw and over expected to tight ends, the most tight end targets, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, the third most catches. So they've played some really good tight ends, don't get me wrong, but it's not like it's a tough matchup by any means. It looks like a good matchup on paper, and the volume has been there. So again, the key here, though, is, of course, he's 3K, right?
Yes.
That you have 50,000 to spend, he's 3K. That opens up 47 for the rest of your roster for a guy who could get 5-6 targets, score a touchdown maybe, and you're in good shape.
I like that. And you are right. He only has one touchdown in the year, but like you said, he has 10-plus fantasy points in each of the last two games that he's played, and he had a big 7-for-70 with a touchdown earlier in the year. We know that if he gets in the end zone, he has the opportunity to totally bust out of that $3,000 price.
Again, 3X is 9 points.
Yes.
That's all you need out of him.
That's all you need.
That's all you got to get.
Speaking of all you need out of a guy, Al, all I need out of the tight end position is Travis Kelce every week. Just lock him up, and I feel like you're in the same boat as me.
Look, Daniel, I think that I'm a nice guy.
I think you are, too.
Do you think I'm a nice guy?
I think you're a nice guy.
But don't make me angry, because you won't like me when I'm angry. And right now, I'm really angry at Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, because you know how we spent all that time talking about how easy it is to convert end zone targets into touchdowns, and that's why Marquise Brown is having such a ridiculously consistent year this season? You know who has zero end zone targets this year? Travis Kelce.
Wow. That's crazy.
Not a one.
That can you explain that? Can anyone
red zone
explain
targets?
That's hard to believe. And they just traded for Daniel Brown. So he's in deep trouble, Al.
Right? I mean, I'm drawing dead at this point. Look, it's not like I was like, had Kyle, like I was digging into all these different things about like, what is he? Is he running less routes because their offensive line isn't good once they get close to the end zone? No, they've just been getting fancy play syndrome and throwing like softball windmill passes to Jody Fortson when they get close, instead of just, you got a guy who makes touchdowns happen, throw him the ball where the touchdowns happen, and then your offense won't struggle as much. But like, this is a schematic issue, and I'm hoping that it changes. I'm hoping that they reflect and look in the mirror and say, you know what? We should throw Travis Kelce the ball in the end zone, because Mahomes has thrown 4.6% of his passes into the end zone this year, and that's coming off of 7.4 the 3 years trailing. So he's just, as a team, they're not throwing it into the end zone as much. I hope that that changes. It has swung a little bit. He has had 6 targets inside the 30 over the first 5 games. In the last 3 games, he's gotten 7, so they are moving in that direction. I think that we're going to have a lower percentage on him this week than in previous weeks. As that Monday Night Football game, he very much disappointed people, as like 18 targets went towards Tyreek Hill's way instead of his, and he slipped, and that apparently means that he's old now. I love all these narratives against Travis Kelce, because he's still leading the league in terms of tight end targets. He is third in the league in terms of air yards at the position, and if they correct this fundamental flaw right now in the Kansas City Chiefs offense, where they're just not giving the ball to their touchdown monster where the touchdowns happen, I think that we're going to get an explosion from Travis Kelce, but it's going to take that schematic change in play calling for it to happen. But I'm betting on it happening.
I'm betting on it too. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, eventually this is going to have to, that ship is just going to write itself. So a couple other tight ends that we like here. Albert O, $2,600 against Dallas.
That assumes Noah Fant not activated from the COVID list, which is not the expectation right now. So yeah, yep. Super cheap. He's going to be a good option. He's already getting a handful of targets, yes, even with Fant in there. So
yep. Jared Cook, $3,300, taking on Philly, although Philly is a pretty good defense. I mean, they've been looking nice lately.
Yeah, but you can't get it to receivers. So and Cook, yeah, Cook's a tough one. Like I feel like he's on this list every week, and he's kind of a boring play, and he hasn't had a massive upside, but he scored, you know, twice. He's two touchdowns his past four games. His target share is pretty solid.
Good
offense. High scoring offense.
Yep.
Yeah, so he just kind of hangs around there, and that 3,300 makes him a value.
George Kittle, $5,200, taking on Arizona. Mark Andrews, $5,500, taking on Minnesota. Boy, Mike, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
What don't you know?
I was looking at your lineup earlier. Beard versus the Brain, brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. I don't know if I like your lineup this week. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Wow, I like it a lot. I'll tell you why.
Go ahead and tell me why,
Mike. Look at them wide receivers. It's amazing you could fit that. I have Josh Allen, a quarterback, first of all.
Yep.
Who's the most expensive quarterback. And my receivers are Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
DJ Moore.
Yep.
Amari Cooper.
Yep.
And Devontae Parker. I mean, is that four top 15 receivers this week? I mean, maybe you make the case Parker's top 20, but in that matchup, the way he's played, I mean, I love that. And then Jacobs, who I just talked about, the reasons we like him at running back. Chase Edmonds, such a high floor, and he could get 15 carries in a given week too. So I like that. And then I'm going Alberto at tight end at 2,600.
26.
And then the Chiefs defense. Of course, they're not going to face Aaron Rodgers this week. So
that's the thing. Chiefs defense, and I feel like this is going to be like the punt play at defense this week, right? Because you got a rookie quarterback. We're not sure. We have no idea what it's going to be. But $2,300 for the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, super cheap. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers is playing, not as interesting. But, I mean, they bounced back a little bit last week against Daniel Jones. They brought in Melvin Ingram on the edge now.
Yep.
I think they'll again, revert back to the mean to some extent defensively. Won't be as horrible as they've been so far this season, but I like the lineup. I'm surprised. With that a firepower, a wide receiver, I'm pretty fired up about it.
Got a lot of firepower there. I do agree with that. I just like my lineup more. We set this is one of the things about this show. Like, this is more of a cash lineup. I set more of a turn up lineup against you because it's fun to be able
to turn up lineup. We
got tournament, a turn up lineup. Wow.
Got to get him to turn up this week.
All right, guys. Okay. I love you, Al. All right, I'm going to start with Lamar Jackson, $7,300 as my quarterback. I'm going to pair him with both Hollywood Brown at $6,000 and Rashad Bateman at $4,000.
See, that's tough. I mean, you were just saying, like, can you put a running quarterback with one receiver? You're going to do it with two.
I'm going to try it with two.
All right.
I'm going to have a comeback.
Not Mark Andrews. You know he's getting, you know, a bunch of targets.
I know he will. But Bateman has been, listen, this is the point. I'm going to say this. Al, you can tell me whether you do agree or disagree. Mike, you can do the same. This is the time to get in on Bateman. You get in on Bateman while he's $4,000 before he becomes $56,000, $6,000, whatever, based on the target share that he's getting. So, yes, this is definitely more of a risky play, especially in cash lineups. But I love the idea of being able to get in on Bateman to have that big game before that price point goes up.
I agree with that. Just not sure if I like it as part of a stack like this with, again, a guy who's going to scramble a lot. They're going to market. Anyway,
I hear you. I hear you.
Hey, we're basically tied this season, so I'm just...
I got Justin Jefferson on the other side of that game, $7,500 to pair with those two wide receivers. My two running backs are going to be Aaron Jones, $7,200 with Chase Edmonds at 53. We'll continue to monitor him based on his shoulder injury. I got Dan Arnold at tight end based on what it is that he's been doing with his targets, $3,400 taking on Buffalo. It's going to be tough, but I think Jacksonville is going to keep looking at him. Travis Kelce, $7,000 as my flex play. I don't have a problem playing Travis Kelce in my flex because he's $7,000. And he's a wide receiver, basically. I got the Chiefs defense at $2,300 as well. So a little bit more correlation in my lineup. Again, we talk about cash. Mm-hmm. I do a little bit more tournament. We have fun to see which way it's going to work out, but we'll see how this works.
Yeah, I think, and by the way, from a tournament perspective, it makes a lot of sense. You're going with the two tight ends. You're going with the stack, which a lot of people are going to look at that situation with Baltimore and say, well, I can't do that. I can't not have Andrews and go with these two receivers and Lamar. That's not going to work out. But in a tournament setting, you're trying to be different. And if that's a high-scoring game and they go off, that's going to be different. It's going to be unique, and you're going to be in a good spot. It's just the head-to-head matchup that's risky. It's risky in a cash situation.
It is. We're going to talk about Al's lineup in just 1 second. But first, and we're almost done here, I think. But first, Al has been spotting me every week to be able to do a high-stakes single-entry tournament. We are about 8 weeks into the season now. We want to give a quick update on how things have been going last week. I was six spots out of the money because a zero happened from Emmanuel Sanders.
Unbelievable.
In my Bills stack. It is so frustrating. I had both Josh Allen and Cole Beasley, so that worked out.
Russell Gage last week, so I know the feeling.
It's tough. But I have cashed. I cashed a couple weeks ago, had a pretty good turnout, which was fantastic. But here's the deal. This is a single entry. It's not 150 lineups. It's here's one lineup in a tournament. And so it's been fun. I feel like I've gotten better. I've either been right there every week or I have been way off, which I'm like, I don't love being way off, but I'm okay with it knowing that I'm trying to go with game script and all of that. So Al, I got to be honest though. This is like, I'm living in your world right now.
Yeah.
To an extent, like this is high stakes. It is quite a bit more difficult to be, especially with a single entry when you're talking about something like that, because you've got to be able to hit on all those things. But the correlation is just what it keeps coming back to. And so I am 1-for-7 so far this year in a high stakes single entry lineup. But I felt good with where we've been going. I think I'm going to have a better second half of the season.
All right.
You want to know the crazy thing? If you had gone with Beasley instead of Sanders, you probably would be even on the year.
Probably.
In total spend, right? Because Beasley's 20 plus points last week would have pushed you far enough up into the money last week because you were the bubble boy, right? You were just out of it.
I was just out of it.
You would have been like the, not in the first min cash tier, but you would have been like the second or third tier, which would have had you basically breaking even with the two caches out of eight, because the Ricky Bobby approach is what you want to have in tournaments. All the money's up top. So if I'm not first, I don't want to just min cash. I want to be all the way up in the top 1% of that tournament because that's where all the money lies. Now, looking at it that way, I'm going with my double stack this week. Talked about Joe Burrow, so I built a Joe Burrow lineup. Joe Burrow stacked with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. They're both good. I like them. I'm going to bring that back with Jarvis Landry. In the absence of Odell Beckham Jr., the targets are going to have to flow somewhere, and they're usually going to flow towards the best target. That's Jarvis Landry. My secondary stack in this lineup, Kadarius Toney, with literally everybody hurt again on the Giants' pass-catching core. He running out of the slot again with Shepard out, should get 8+ targets in this situation. Absolutely love the talent. Pairing him with Josh Jacobs, who Mike talked about earlier. Alvin Kamara as a one-off against the Falcons. Probably the best, one of the best values on the board at running back. And I've got Jared Cook at tight end. If we want to mess around with that, fine. And the Kansas City defense is basically one of the most popular defenses this week going against Jordan Love in his first start.
Okay. A lot of fun stuff this week. A lot of things that are going to be interesting to be able to watch. I'm super stoked to see how Jordan Love plays in his first game. And this, you know, man, I really think I'm taking you down. I'm just being honest, Mike. Well, but I love you, though, man.
Well, you're putting all your eggs in Baltimore, so it'll come down to that. If they have a huge high-scoring game, you got me. If not,
yeah,
should be in good shape. But I like that. I think you could do a lot of value at receiver this week.
I want to complain.
You could jam a lot of good ones in there.
Complain really quickly, too, because in the show league last week, my lineup was the Eagles double stack. It was awful.
Yeah, even though they won by like 90 points.
It's unreal. How did all the wrong Eagles score? Literally all of them. Jordan Howard?
Yeah. Howard had two touchdowns. Scott had two touchdowns.
Kenneth Gainwell did nothing.
He did nothing. He had a bunch of carries in garbage time. Hurts had his worst game by far.
What about high ceiling Devonta Smith, Mike? What did he do? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. They threw, I think he attempted 15
passes.
They threw
it 19 times.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was so frustrating.
That's fantasy football for
that's
you.
Some weeks are just like that. But thank you guys so much for hanging out with us again here in week 8. We love you guys. Appreciate you letting us into your lives for half hour, 45 minutes, however long this podcast was. My name is Daniel. This is Mike. That's Al. We'll see you guys every Thursday here on video. Also, check out the podcast. Thank you to our friends over at Geico. We love you. Don't forget to love each other. See you guys in week 9.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Lakeford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac on the case, with projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels. All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.